Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Get the Answers to Life's Questions, a show that I was guided to create so that people would have a place to go to get the answers that they're looking for in life, the answers that are not going to come from your head, which is simply going to rehash everything that you've ever learned and try to show you something different or tell you that you really just need to try harder. Instead, these answers come from your guidance, from your soul, your higher self, God, the universe, whatever name you want to give it. They are the answers that come from all of the accumulated wisdom that ever was and ever will be. So they are answers that can actually help you to change your life. So if you are looking to understand things in your life or just to change your life, feel free to give me a call. The number is 646-716-5045. That's 646-716-5045. So today's topic is evolution. I never actually have anything prepared for these topics because Blog Talk requires that I have a different name for every show, and so I put in whatever I'm guided to put in, and I really don't have anything to go on if there aren't people already on the phone. So today let's talk about evolution. For me, evolution has been a very interesting process. I look back on my life, you know, in my childhood when I was more of a traditional person. You know, we went to church every Sunday and choir practice, and we were part of the youth group, and we did all of these things, whatever the church was doing. And that was an important part of our lives. And I never really, I didn't like most of the church part of it. I liked the singing because I love to sing. So that to me was the good part of church. The rest of it, it was kind of not really all that exciting or anything, unless I was visiting a new church and they were doing something that we didn't usually do. And then it was kind of interesting. Except for some of those ministers would get up there and start preaching, and they would go on and on and on about how horrible we were and how we had just been born to be these horrible, horrible persons, and that our lives were doomed to be filled with all of this misery and agony. So you can probably tell that I was not a real big fan of traditional religion because they really didn't tell you who you are and how to be more. And that's something that I started looking into on my own. I finally realized that my life, the way I was living it, wasn't really working for me. I mean, I was doing everything that I ever been taught. I was putting everybody else first. I was, you know, being a good person. I didn't do anything illegal. And, you know, and I was following all of these rules and regulations that I had been taught, but my life felt really crappy. And so I decided there has to be a different way, a better way of actually living. And that's when I started looking into, you know, metaphysical things and all of the alternatives out there. And I read different books on different religions, and it was like, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting. But they still have all of these rules and regulations about what I can and cannot do, and I don't want that. And it was really amazing to me how they really did have all of these similarities. And all of the religions that I was looking at were talking about how God is this wonderful being of love, unless you do something wrong, and then you might be smited and cursed and all of this other stuff. And if you didn't get all of that, well, then once you died, you go straight to hell. So it was a contradiction for me. And when I would talk to other people about it, they didn't see the contradiction, which always amazed me. I actually asked my mother one time, you know, if God is this wonderful, loving being, and she agreed that God was, then I said, then why is there a hell? And she said, so you can make sure that you're always doing the right thing. I said, but God is supposed to be this wonderful, loving being. Hell is not wonderful and loving. Why is there a hell? Well, eventually we stopped talking because she couldn't come up with an answer. She told me I had to believe, that I had to have faith, that I had to trust. But I still couldn't get around that contradiction. You know, either you are this wonderful, loving, all-seeing, all-knowing being that is taking care of everybody and everything, or you are this petty little three-year-old who says you've been bad, I'm going to punish you and send you to hell, you know. I prefer not to think of God as a three-year-old. Three-year-olds are wonderful, but there's so much that they just don't know yet. And so over the years, I've come to the conclusion that God is this wonderful, amazing, loving energy. God is not in a physical body. God doesn't need a physical body because God is everywhere and everything. So God's in everybody. God's in my body and your body. So why does God need a body its own? So my concept of God is that God is energy. And the energy of God is love. And even just saying that, I feel this wonderful sense of peace, of love, of acceptance. And I never felt that with the traditional religions when they were talking about God. It was more a sense of fear and anger, because it really did piss me off that God was supposed to be so wonderful and so loving, and yet God did these crappy little things and smited people and, you know, turned them into pillars of salt and all of this other stuff. And that just did not fit. Not for me. And so this has been part of my evolution. I can see now why I chose to be born into the family that I was born into. I was born into a family with both parents were very devoutly religious, very much Bible people. You know, if it's in the Bible, that's where you need to look. That's where you need to find the answers. And we would read the Bible and go to Bible study, and everything was about the Bible, but nobody ever talked about the parts of the Bible that didn't really fit with the other parts of the Bible, because there are contradictions in the Bible, but you're not supposed to talk about them, apparently. You're just supposed to have faith that everything is fine, or that you just don't understand exactly what the person who wrote that meant, and you should just accept it because it's the Word of God. Well, the more I got into this understanding that God is this energy and God is everywhere, then I begin to realize that everything that's ever written is the Word of God. My mother didn't like that either. You know, because there are these religions that teach you that this book, the Bible, is the word of God, and there is no other word of God. This is the only word of God, which to me seems like a very limited definition for God. I mean, if God is everywhere and everything, which means he, there's no limit to what God can utilize to help people to learn whatever it is they're supposed to learn in their lives. And these people are saying, no, the only place people can look is in this book. There is no place else. And there are other religions that have their books, and you're supposed to look in their books, for all of the answers are in the book. The only place to look is in the book. And I love books. I have read thousands of books, literally thousands of books. But that's so limiting. I just couldn't do the limitation thing. I find it interesting sometimes when I realize that the one book that I've never actually read from cover to cover is the Bible. I've never actually sat down and read the Bible. I don't know if I ever will. It hasn't really come to me that I'm supposed to yet. But I just find it interesting that the book that I was raised to believe in, that I was raised to believe had all of the answers, all of the truth, everything I needed is in this book, and I never read the book. We have these perceptions of life, of what life is, who we are, what everything is all about. And so much of it is based on how we were raised, what our parents said, or whoever it is that raised us, our siblings, and what we would read and watch on television, what we heard every Sunday in church about how horrible we were, how we were filled with sin, and the only reason we were actually even allowed to be alive was because Jesus died for us. And then we look around the world and we see so many people who are acting like they are these martyrs, you know, that they are sacrificing everything for you. And I've seen this in some people's families, you know, they'll have a parent or sometimes both parents who are always reminding their children how much they've sacrificed for them. So we're building in this belief that we're all supposed to be these martyrs or we're supposed to be saints when we die. And it really screws up our lives. I mean, think about that. We are making everyone and everything else more important than ourselves. So part of my evolution has been the realization that it's okay for me to actually put myself first in my own life. Now, this doesn't mean that I don't do anything nice for anybody else, because I still do. If it's what I want to do, I don't do it because I have to prove that I am a good person, or to prove that, you know, I deserve that special designation as a martyr or a saint or whatever. I do it because my intuition, my heart, my higher self guides me to do it. So if I have a question about whether or not I should do something, I ask. And I always get an answer. And you always get an answer too. You just may not recognize the answer. But anytime you ask a question, anytime you ask God for anything, always get an answer. Now, there are some people who say, well, no, that's not true, because I asked for this, this, and this, and I never got them. You're assuming that your answer is to actually receive what you asked for. So many times your answer is the information that will help you understand why you don't have what you asked for, or what you need to let go of in order to get what you asked for, or the understanding that what you ask for is not for your highest good. And so you really shouldn't be trying to get that. You should be working on this. We have these perceptions about exactly what our answers are and what they mean. And I found that anytime I've asked for anything, I get something different. I very, 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 very seldom actually get what I ask for. Usually what I get is understanding, insights into myself, into the truth of life. So if you are, you know, praying and asking God for something, don't decide that you have to actually see what you've asked for. Notice what's there for you. Notice what comes up for you. Notice the songs that you're suddenly hearing, the words that you're suddenly hearing. You know, you're getting your answer and you're getting it over and over in so many different ways. And people don't realize that. Anytime you ask God for anything or a question about anything, you get the answer and you get it multiple times. It's not just a one time only, and if you miss it, oh well, you know, it's not that way. That's not the way God works. God really does want us to have whatever we desire. And the things that stand in our way from having that are our own beliefs, the things that we were taught, the things that we accepted from all of those wonderful people who raised us. And so you reach a certain age where in order to continue your own evolution to becoming the beautiful being that you actually are, you have to start letting go of those beliefs. Because as long as you live in those beliefs, you are actually limiting your life. And it's just amazing to me how many beliefs we have. So I have been consciously working to let go of beliefs that I knew were in my way for, oh, gosh, it's got to be at least 30 years. And it's still amazing to me, information we take in. You realize that we take in everything we see, we hear, we taste, we touch, everything we experience, even the things that we don't consciously recognize that we've experienced, we still take it in. And so we've got all of that information in us, and we take it and we sort it and categorize it and put it in our little file cabinets, if you want to consider your brain a little file cabinet. And we do that according to our perceptions. We do that according to what we were taught. So let's say you were taught that, or you grew up in a family that, where your parents did not like cheese for whatever reason. And so you learn that cheese is not a good thing. It doesn't mean that you ever tasted it and decided for yourself. It means that you accepted that belief from them. And then later in life, someone offers you something and you notice that it has cheese. And your first reaction is, no, I don't eat cheese. But then you decide, okay, you taste it and you like it. And so now all of the places where you stored all that information that says cheese is bad, cheese is horrible, don't eat cheese, all of that's got to be changed now because your perception have been changed. So we are always having to go through those file cabinets and find all of the information that we stored there and update it. Update it to who we are now and what's happening in our lives. And that's just a normal part of our evolution. So whenever I'm talking with someone and they're telling me, okay, well, you know, I don't do this or I don't do that because my parents didn't do it and they said that it's not something that I should ever do. And so I've accepted that that's the truth and I don't do it. And I always sometimes subtly and sometimes very obviously challenge that. Challenge whether or not they should just believe it because their parents said it. Or if they should actually try it. And a lot of times I find that the people that I'm talking to are very resistant to change. They don't want to change. They're not happy with their life the way it is, but they don't want to change. And if you can't see how that would set up a very strange life for you, then you need to call me and we need to talk. Because change is a part of our everyday life. Everything's always changing. Everything. And yet people believe that they are not changed, that they are not supposed to evolve, that they are supposed to stay the same as when they were little children. Even though when they look in the mirror, they see that they are not the same. We grow up. And depending on our beliefs, we grow old. So everything is always changing. We are always evolving. But we are the ones who get to decide which way we're going. Are we evolving into someone who's going to end up being this cranky little miserable person who lives alone, you know, with 60 million cats or whatever your idea of this cranky little miserable person is? Or are you evolving into a person who is going to have this beautiful life? You're going to meet all of these wonderful people. It's going to be expansive and filled with love and laughter. You're going to try new things and go new places and be the person that other people want to spend time with. That's a matter of choice for you. You are not required to be a bitter, miserable little person. You're also not required to be an expansive, loving being of light who shares that love with everyone. You get to decide. And that's one of the beautiful things about God, about life, is that we truly get to decide. We're not required to do anything. We're not required to be anything. We have the power, always have that power, always. So this is your life. This is your evolution. Who are you creating yourself to be? So one of the things that I've been guided to start looking at lately has been the work that is done by a man named Reverend Tom Houston. Nope, it's Hudson. I think it's Hudson. Reverend Tom Hudson. His work is about, it's about being who you truly are. Doing the things that are going to bring you into alignment with the truth in your life. Now, you are the one that decides what's true. And we sometimes have a difficulty with that. Because, again, it's based on, and when you are looking at your life and you are looking at what is true, you are only looking at what is true for you. You are not looking at what is true for everybody. You're just looking at you, your beliefs, your perceptions. We have a hard time with that because we believe that everybody believes what we believe. And I definitely have learned over the years that that is not true. Sometimes what other people believe has no connection to anything that I believe. Different people have different beliefs. Even in your family, you have different beliefs. One of the things that I had noticed in my life was that after my mother died, and, you know, we had the funeral, and my brother and his wife, of course, came to the funeral. And after the funeral was over, his wife sent me a message, and no, she called me, and she was really angry at me over something to me was incredibly trivial. I didn't understand why she was so angry, but that was fine. But she kept going on and on and on until I got upset. And I don't normally get upset, and I use some words that I don't normally use. And I hung up the phone, and I'm really, you know, got all of this energy in me, this like, oh my gosh, I've just been attacked, because that's how I felt. Well, I was able to release that energy and move on with my life. I haven't actually spoken with her except for one time since then. And the other day I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about her and the whole nine yards, and I realized that at my mom's funeral, a man who's an important part of my life was there. And so he was giving me a hug and, you know, normal things that people do to comfort someone in their time of grief or whatever. But the gentleman in question happens to be Jewish. And so he's, you know, white skin, and he's actually got white hair too, and blue eyes, and he's a wonderful man, and I love him dearly. Well, my sister-in-law is very much a believer that you should stick with your own race. And she's told me this so many times over the years, and I never said anything to argue with her. I never agreed with her. I just didn't talk about it, because I realized that her beliefs were her beliefs, and she didn't have the same beliefs that I did, and I didn't want to get into an argument. So I just didn't talk about it. And so I was realizing that she had seen me with this friend that I obviously cared about, who was a different race. And I think that that was the reason why she was so angry at me, because she felt that I had betrayed her, that I had done something that we had agreed was not supposed to be done. I never agreed to anything. And I've had friends of every race all of my life. People's color has not been an important part of my existence. I make friends with people simply because of who the people are. And I've always had a mixture of races in my circle of friendship. So it never crossed my mind that anybody in my family would have a problem with me having a friend of a different race. And it's funny because, you know, other members of my family had seen this man. My mother knew this man, and she loved him. She thought he was wonderful. And so I never thought that anybody would have a problem. But I realize now, and it's only taken me 2 years, that that was part of the reason she was so angry at me, was because I was obviously interested in someone of a different race. We have these beliefs that really, if you look at them, they don't make sense. I mean, how can the color of someone's skin determine anything about that person? We all have the same stuff inside. If you take the skin off, it's pretty much the same in there. So why do we make this distinction that says the color of the skin, or whether you have an innie or an outie when it comes to your sexual organs, determines your value as a person? It's amazing how many little beliefs that we have that actually limit our lives, limit our interactions, limit our expression of who we are. It's time to move past that. And that's something that's happening throughout the whole world. That's why there is so much chaos and turmoil and all of these shootings and death and all of that. It's to make us all aware of how ridiculous it is to put people in categories, to believe that their outward appearance determines their value as a person. And that's one of those beliefs that you may not even realize that you have. It may just pop up casually in your life from time to time. And that's happened with me. I was raised in a family, this older brother with this racial belief, this 13, 14 years older than me. So he was gone from the family by the time that I was 5 years old. He was gone. So my parents, my family to me when I was growing up was me and my brother. And then I have a sister who's 7 years older than me, and she was there most of the time until she got married at an early age and had a baby. But she was still in the same town. So those are the people that I grew up with, my parents, my brother, and my sister. Now I have older siblings that they weren't around. They're part of my family, but they weren't part of my, of the time when I was growing up. And my parents went to a military chapel because my father was in the Army, and so there was a racial variety there. So that was normal for me. When I went to school, I think schools finally got integrated when I was in the first or second grade. But I lived on a military base, so I went to an interracial school because they didn't have segregated schools on the military base. So my beliefs, my perceptions were that there were all these different colors of people and that, you know, they were all just people. They were interesting. They were fun. But I also find that sometimes I did have some racial prejudices that I wasn't aware of. Because when we would go and we would visit my father's family or my mother's family, my father was from Mississippi, my mother was from South Carolina, there were very clear racial lines with those people, with the way they lived, with the areas that they lived in, with the churches that they went to. Everybody that I saw when I was with my extended family was the same race. And that was the way it was supposed to be. But when we were at home, and, you know, we live in Oklahoma, so we were 1,000 miles from them, we didn't have those rules. My brother's girlfriend, when he was in high school, was white. I didn't like her, but it wasn't because she was white. It was because she took my brother away from me. When there's only 1 year difference between you and your siblings, you know, you grow up together, you become very close, and then you go through puberty and suddenly, you know, oh, that girl looks interesting. And instead of wanting to hang out with your little sister, you want to hang out with this girl. And so I resented her for years. And it was a lot of years I resented her because she took my brother away. But I never resented her because she was white. So we have these beliefs that we don't even know that we have. And part of our evolution is coming to the realization that we have those beliefs and that we can change those beliefs. We can let that go. We can be free of any belief, no matter how long you've had it. It may take you a little while to actually let it go, but anything is possible. So if you have beliefs about yourself, about your life, about your family that keep you living a very small, very rigid, boxed-in kind of life, then let go of those beliefs. And if you don't know how to let go of those beliefs, then ask God to guide you to someone who's going to be able to help you, because the answer is always there, always. You are so loved. And God wants you to be happy. So anything you ask for, you are going to get answers. Probably not the answer exactly the way you imagined it would be, but you're going to get the answers. You always get answers. Okay, let's go to the caller from area code 504.
Hi, thank you. My name is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. What can I do for you today?
I'm just a little down. I feel like I keep up this good fight and keep going, and then I'm just down, and I was just looking for like an angel message that could help me turn it around.
What are you fighting for?
My peace? Does that make sense? I feel like I have a lot of angry people around me. So I must be manifesting that. I'm not sure why.
Okay. So, of course, my question is, what are you angry about? And don't tell me you're not angry, because you are. That's why you're attracting angry people.
It's got to be. Yeah, no, I think that as well, but I don't know why. I don't want to carry people anymore. I'm exhausted.
So what I'm hearing is that, okay, one thing I was hearing is that in some ways you are angry about your life. You're angry because there's a part of you that believes that, okay, if I do all these things that I've been taught I'm supposed to do, and if I do them the right way, then my life is going to be better. And that hasn't happened.
Yes.
Because you don't truly love yourself. So what your guidance is telling me is that you put other people first. You put other people's needs first. You're trying to prove that you're a good person, which is a complete and utter waste of time, because you are a good person and there's nothing to prove. And as long as you are trying to prove that, as long as you're waiting for someone to look at you one day and go, oh, Deborah, I forgot to tell you, you are the most wonderful person in the world. That's not going to happen. Because you don't recognize
I know that
about yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see what message. Okay. Mother Mary wants to give you a message. So here it is. My beloved, I want you to realize that there's nothing to prove, that you are already loved, and that it's time for you to start loving yourself, to treat yourself with the love and respect that you deserve, and you deserve it simply because you exist. There's nothing that you have to do or say or be in order to prove that you deserve anything. We see the truth in you. We know who you are. You are one of us. You are a being of love and light. And your life is meant to flow. But that's not what you were taught. It's time to let go of those beliefs that hold you back from the joy and fulfillment that is there for you. It's time for you to start accepting yourself, to recognize that it's nobody's fault. There's no one to blame, and there's never, ever a need to punish yourself or anyone else. Let all of that go and start living your life in the love that you are. And as you do that more and more, you're going to be letting go of all of that anger, all of the discontent, all of those old beliefs about what can and cannot be. And you will find yourself living in joy, being happy simply because you are happy, looking at other people and all of their situations and all of the garbage that they're carrying with them, and not taking any of it on for yourself, because you don't need to. You're not responsible for them. You're only responsible for you. So if you want your life to start being better, then let go of the need to take care of everything for everybody else, and allow yourself to truly, truly value and appreciate. There's no one in your life who deserves your love more than you do. And this is true for each and every one of you. And when you start living from that love, you'll find that things open up in ways you've never imagined. So if you want your life to be different, then be different. Let go and start loving yourself. I am here with you, always with you. Talk to me whenever you need to. I will always be here for you because I love you. I love you. I love you. Okay, that's what she wanted to say to you.
Thank you so much. I'm still trying to figure out what that looks like. You know what I mean?
What it looks like to love yourself?
Yeah.
Well, start out by doing little things. One of the little things that you can do is take some time every morning, stand in front of a mirror or just hold a little mirror, look yourself in the eyes and say, I love you. And do it for like 5 minutes. And just say, I love you to yourself. You might also have one of those little pop-up reminders that pops up on your phone or your computer that just says, you are loved. And when it pops up, stop what you're doing, read the message, and feel the energy. Just 30 seconds. But if you do little things like that, then it changes your beliefs. It changes who you believe you are. It changes what you believe is possible in your life. And when you encounter those angry people, see yourself taking this beautiful net of golden pink light and throwing it over them. And that netting is love. So you are just surrounding them with love and let them go. You can listen to them if you want to. If you don't want to listen to them, don't listen to them.
No.
It's your choice.
I don't.
Okay. And I understand that. Because it is your choice. Yeah. Well, it's not a matter of fight or flight. It's just a matter of saying, this is how they are choosing to be, but this is not how I am choosing to be. This is not my energy. And you walk away from it.
When I was a kid, my father was an angry man that every time he walked in the room, you would clench because you didn't know if he was going to be happy or angry or throw something. And so I feel like I have some kind of PTSD from that. And that's why, I have these people-pleasing tendencies that have let more and more angry people around
mm-hmm.
me. You know?
Yeah, because if you're always trying to please, then yeah, that's what you're going to attract. You're going to attract those people who are looking for someone who is going to do everything possible to try to please them, even though they don't actually want to be pleased. Because if they're pleased, then they can't be angry.
Correct. My mom, my boyfriend, everybody's angry. My boss, everybody's angry. Everybody's angry.
One thing that you can do that one of my friends, actually, she's going to be on the show on Friday, but she talks about surrounding yourself with a circle or a ball of green jello. And this green jello repels everything that is not unconditional love.
Okay.
So when you're in your green jello, you are surrounded by unconditional love. You are at peace. You are happy. You are doing whatever it is that really your heart is calling out for. And other people's emotions just bounce off. So you don't ever have to be a part of their anger. And you don't ever have to be a part of their anger anyway. It's always your choice.
Yeah, I'm empathic, so it's hard.
Yeah, but that green jello, it gives you permission to not buy into whatever they're going through.
Okay.
That's very hard for people who are empathic because you feel what they're feeling.
Yeah,
but
it's
you
awful.
Can also decide that you don't need to feel what they're feeling. That is optional. You do not have to feel what anybody else is feeling.
Okay.
Because this
I'm
is your life and this is your personal space. And nobody has the right to dictate your feelings, ever. Nobody.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you
and
for
you
that.
Deserve to be happy. And happiness is there for you.
Thank you. Do you think that I'd if I get another job, I could get another angry person, or if I get another boyfriend, I could get another angry boyfriend. Like, I mean, he's not angry all the time, and she's not angry all the time, but when they are, it's awful.
Okay, so let's do some clearing work about anger. So would you like a divine infinity healing for releasing the need to attract angry people into your life, letting go of all of those beliefs that say people are going to be angry, you're always going to find angry people are attracted to you. Anger is something that everybody feels, and you cannot expect to go through your life and never encounter anyone who is angry.
Right.
And besides that, you are angry, and you are supposed to be angry. Your father taught you to be angry. Angry is your normal state of being. All of that is lies. All of that is lies. So this divine infinity healing is going to go throughout you and find all of the places where you stored those lies and let it go. It's going to expand. You will feel the peace, the calmness, and all of the beauty of who you are. And if you are willing to allow that change in your life, then say yes.
Yes.
And take 3 nice deep breaths. Okay, there's another little part. So would you like a divine infinity healing for releasing that part of you that says, but I don't know how not to be angry. I don't know how to deal with people who are not angry. I don't know how, therefore I cannot do it, because that is not true. When you are allowing the love to flow through you, when you are trusting that you will be guided in every moment, you don't have to know how. How is not up to you. So this beautiful divine infinity healing is going to bring you peace. Bring you understanding without you needing to know how. And if you'd like that, say yes.
Yes.
And 3 nice deep breaths.
Okay.
Okay, so we need to disconnect you from your father's energy because it's still stuck in you. So would you like a divine infinity healing for disconnecting you from your father's energy, for accepting that you participated in his energy because, frankly, you didn't know that you had a choice. You thought that that's what you were supposed to do. But now you have reached an age where you realize that that energy is not you. It is not you, and you do not need to keep it. It has nothing to do with you. It is not supposed to shape your life. And so this divine infinity healing energy is going to find all of those places where you are connected with him, and it is going to release those connections because that is not you. He does not have the right to violate your space. No one does. And if you are ready now to have him gone from your space, from your body, your energy bodies, your aura, wherever he's connected, then say yes.
Yes.
And take 3 nice deep breaths. How does that feel?
Feels good. I realize it's a full moon, and you're supposed to let stuff go. So I guess very timely. You know,
yeah.
For me.
And you probably have other people that you. Okay, you do
my
have
mom.
Other people.
My mother.
That are lovingly attached to you. And
my mother's
really
a hard
just,
one. Probably harder than my father because she is in my space. You know what I mean? She's in my space.
Okay. Let's see how they want to deal with that. All right. So would you like a Divine Infinity healing for cutting the ties, cutting the energy ties that are anything less than unconditional love with your mother, releasing her in a way that brings you back your power. So you are taking your power back from her. And this is the power that you willingly gave to her because you thought, well, this is my mother. This is what I'm supposed to do. She's the adult. She's supposed to watch out for me. She takes care of me. She feeds me. She clothes me. Therefore, she has the right to tell me everything to do for the rest of my life. You used to believe that, but now you know that that's not true. Now you know that you are an adult. You have the ability to make your own decisions. You do not need to be violated by your mother's energy. And so this beautiful Divine Infinity healing energy is going to clear all of that. It's going to actually expand you, expand your energy so that you are no longer having these little pockets of my mother trapped in you. So that you can actually breathe and be who you are because you recognize that you have a choice. And if you're willing to accept all that, say yes.
Yes. The only thing is she did not take care of me. I took care of her. It was quite the opposite. And she still expects it sometimes.
In her mind, your taking care of her was her taking care of you.
Okay.
I know that doesn't make any sense, but that was the way that she saw it.
Yeah, I could see that.
She thought she was teaching you how to be a better person by letting you take care of her.
I believe that maybe that, yeah, that lesson is, like, I think something's wrong with her mentally, so maybe she's being some kind of martyr and I'm the one being tested.
And you don't have to live that anymore because you're all grown up now. You get to make your own choices. So just let go of the whole idea that you have to take care of her because you don't.
She would be homeless if I didn't take care of her.
So you've accepted that burden on yourself. Well, what happened if you let it go?
She would love to play the martyr.
So what would happen if you allowed God to take care of her? If you put it into the hands of God, the angels, whatever beings you believe in, and you ask them to take care of her so that you didn't have to carry this burden anymore. Because this is not your burden. It's not. It's really not. And they really want you to get that. So you can turn it over to them and ask them to guide you, to show you one step at a time what you need to do. And what you may be shown is that you need to just step away from her. Literally and figuratively.
Thank you for taking this much time with me.
You are welcome. You are worth it. You deserve to be treated with love and respect. You really do. You are a good person. You always have been. And you always will be. you can place your mother into the hands of Mother Mary, to protect her for you, and ask her to guide you. And this will change your life, and it'll change hers too. But you won't be the one who's taking care of her anymore, because you're not supposed to. You are supposed to live your own life.
Even if somebody has like a mental illness like that, like how can they take care of themselves if they're like schizophrenic or something? Like, I mean,
you will be guided to what is for her highest good. You know, it's really difficult, especially when someone has a mental illness and you feel like, okay, I've got to watch out for them because they can't watch out for themselves. I've got to do whatever it is that needs to be done because they can't do it for themselves. But when you turn it over into the hands of God, things happen. Things open up so that they can get what they need without it being on your back.
Okay.
You don't need to have that weighing you down. You're not supposed to.
Okay, I'm gonna try this. I really am.
Okay. And you may be
really
surprised at the opportunities that open up for you. And they do. So just be aware of what comes up.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And, you know, you have a whole team of beautiful divine beings that are with you, and they just keep saying they want you to know that they love you. They love you. They love you. They love you. You're not alone. You are loved. And you can do this.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sweetheart. So take care of yourself. Give yourself lots of love.
My joints were hurting, and I don't feel like they're hurting right now. My whole joint.
Well, you did some
body
expanding and letting go. Yeah. And that's
Thank
good.
You.
That means that you don't have to hang on to that stuff anymore.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Deborah. And thank you for calling. And do call back and let me know how things are, okay?
I really will. Thank you.
Okay, bye. Sweetheart. Bye-bye. Okay, I have 30 seconds, so I guess that's the end of the show. And since nobody else has their hand up, then I will be able to leave with a clear conscience. I will be back on Friday with Elizabeth Sadu, and Elizabeth does these amazing chants that I love. Come back and join us, and I hope everyone has a wonderful week. And give yourselves lots and lots of love. Okay, now you put your hand up. All right. Area code 803.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hey. Great. I'm calling to get some healing energy from you.
And what are you looking to have healed?
Some money problems. As usual.
Okay. So one of the things that they're telling me that you would benefit from is actually releasing all of your beliefs about money.
Right.
Because a lot of your beliefs are based in the limitations of money.
Right.
Okay, so let's see. Would you like a divine infinity healing for releasing all of the things that you have been taught about money, all of the limitations, all of the have to work hard, it's hard to come by, you'll never have enough, you can only have enough to pay what bills you have to pay, but you can never have extra. You're not allowed to have extra. You don't deserve to have extra. Extra is not part of your life. And if you are ready to just let all of that go and to allow the truth, which is money is just an exchange of energy. You are just as deserving as any other person in the world to have money. When you are exchanging your energy and you are doing it, doing whatever it is you love, and there is love in that energy, then you are going to get love back. And that love can come in lots of different forms, including money. So money is a form of love. So if you would like to have this new way of looking at money and dealing with money and allowing money into your life.
I want to do credit.
Say yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, I want to do credit.
And take three nice deep breaths. And how does that feel?
I'm actually at a Home Depot just checking out, so it's feeling a little screwed up. I'm leaving now, so it's all good. Me get the car. And then we can begin again. Sorry about that. I was trying to time it so that I'd be out the door and you could start. But didn't work out exactly as I hoped. But I'm now walking to the car. Unless it's easier if I just call you back privately. I don't know. That's better.
That's probably a good idea.
Yes, it is. Very good idea.
Yeah, because they're showing me there's some deeper stuff.
Yeah, a lot deeper stuff right now.
So we can find out what layers they want to clear up. Because we're not just these simple little one-layer people. We do have all kinds of deeper stuff.
Correct. Is there any way to just, like, detox the stuff? Flush it all out like when you have a drain that's clogged? You can just blow it all out and start all over again.
There are ways of starting that process, but you will probably not have everything just blown out at once, because if it was, you would just be sitting on the floor drooling. Most people couldn't handle changes that big, not in your belief system.
Right.
You know, it's taken you 50-something years to get these beliefs, and if they were all wiped out immediately, then you don't even, who would you be? You wouldn't be anyone.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So while it sounds wonderful to have everything just blown out at once, it's not really for your highest good.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It's almost like having a lobotomy.
Yes.
The whole brain, your all memory is wiped out. You know, like these movies with a guy, I don't even know my name. I don't know who I am, where I'm from. I know nothing. You've got to start all
exactly.
Over again.
and that's not where you want to be, because you have a life, you have family, you have responsibilities.
Yeah.
And so if you want to call me,
I can wait an hour or two. Well, yeah, I am in a hurry, but I mean, it's on your schedule. I don't mind. You got things to do. I can wait.
Give me about 30 minutes, and then give me a call, and we'll clear the things that we are guided to clear.
Okay, fantastic.
All right, great then. I will expect your call in 30 minutes.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
Okay, boss.
Okay.
Bye.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that's the show for today. I'll be back on Friday. I hope everyone has a wonderful, magical day. Bye-bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.